Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Well, when the global financial crisis hit in 2008, Mark Roeder was caught up in the middle of it, working as a high-level executive for one of the world's biggest banks. And what he saw from the inside was fascinating. The more he looked, the more he realized that greedy bankers and bad home loans weren't so much to blame for the crisis, rather it was momentum. Put simply, by the time we realized the economy was rolling downhill, it was just too late. The brakes didn't work. In fact, there really were no brakes. Mark's written a book called The Big Mo, Why Momentum Now Rules the World, and he's with us in the studio. Mark Roeder, welcome to Open House.
Thank you, Sheridan. Nice to be here.
Just explain what you saw then in the trading world when the GFC started to hit, because that's really where this whole idea came for you, and then you've applied it to other areas of life.
Well, that's right. I was based in London for one of the big Swiss banks, UBS, which was the largest private bank in the world at the time. And we had a huge trading division and a very, very successful bank. Now, around that time, it was quite clear that the markets were in trouble because the first news had come out of America with the subprime crash, and it had spread exponentially around the world. And we sensed at the time that the entire financial system was hanging on a precipice, which it was. One of my roles was to help develop a communication strategy to try to explain and reassure to our customers what was going on. And I asked, you know, a lot of people around the bank and outside what they thought was driving this collapse. The interesting thing was everybody I asked had a different explanation. And it was the same when, you know, you looked in the Financial Times in London or looked elsewhere, there were so many different explanations floating around. So I decided to do my own research and to come to my own perspective on it. And I came across some fascinating research produced by three London academics in the London Business School. I mean, they had gone back 100 years in dozens of countries and they found the same phenomenon. So I began to suspect that maybe momentum, if it affects stock prices, perhaps it has an influence on the wider financial markets. And that's when the penny dropped that, hey, perhaps this global financial collapse is largely driven by a momentum factor that has been largely unaccounted for.
Yeah, and so practically, what is momentum though in the stock market? Is it herd mentality? Is it crowd? Because you know, we're seeing the stock price go down, so let's all sell.
It's momentum, I suppose, is a combination of behavioral and systemic factors. At the behavioral level, it's where a range of kind of emotions and feelings get swept up and pushes you in a certain direction. I mean, you see this in sports, which is where, you know, the term Big Mo originally came from. Sports teams pray to get Big Mo on their side. And it's where a range of kind of almost, shall we say, mystical forces drive people in a certain direction and everything seems to click, and then they get locked into that direction and it's very difficult to step out of it. Simultaneously, in the financial markets, we have systems and processes, and particularly we have computers. Now, the influence of computers on the modern financial system is greatly underestimated and not widely known. Nearly 70% of all stock trades in the world today are conducted by automated computer trading systems or robot computers. Now, these almost have taken on a life of their own. In May this year, just a few months ago, the Dow Jones Stock Index dropped almost 1,000 points in 20 minutes, wiping $1 trillion off the value before bouncing back up. You know, here we are a few months later, and the regulators are still not quite sure how it happened, but they know one thing, that it was computers driving it.
Yes, yes. A trader had pressed the wrong button or something, and then the computers just went bang, 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 and they're all talking to each other and then suddenly closed the whole thing down or something.
That's right. They initially called that the fat fingers syndrome. Yeah. But now they suspect it's more complicated than that. They suspect that it's the interconnection of all these systems that we haven't accounted for, but which has created a systemic risk. What's creating momentum at a global level is not just the increase of mass times velocity. This is very important. It's also the fact that the world is now so much more interconnected today in 2010 than it was in 1990. So in effect, we've created these amazingly big interconnected machines like the global financial system, or, you know, the internet, or the infrastructure systems that underpin our world. They are momentum generating machines and very difficult to call to control and redirect once they sort of develop their own self-perpetuating dynamic. The influence of humans is becoming less important than the influence of the machine itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, there we go. There's something to think about and ponder. 1-300-40-2020 if you've got something to throw into that. Mark Roeder is the author of The Big Mo, Why Momentum Now Rules Our World, and this is Open House right across the nation. We're talking about this issue of momentum that, that Mark's cottoned onto, that for some things, once the ball starts rolling down the hill, it's very, very hard to actually stop the proceedings any further. Sounds a bit pessimistic. We'll get to some ramifications of this in just a second. You've then applied it, though, to broader areas than just the financial market, where you first saw momentum actually working, and in the global financial crisis. Let's talk about that. You talk about celebrity. You're seeing momentum work in celebrity. How's that the case? Suzanne Doyle is one of the examples you use in the book.
That's right. I think the case of Susan Boyle is quite extraordinary. Interestingly, she, a decade earlier, had produced a song, I think, called Cry Me a River. It only sold 1,000 copies, albeit for a charity event. Some critics have said that her singing quality on that song was probably better than the one that she sang on Britain's Got Talent. But now, in 2009, 2010, we have an entirely different media environment, where it's possible for someone to achieve stratospheric levels of stardom almost instantaneously through viral networks like YouTube and Twitter and so on. So Susan Boyle went from, you know, a very quiet, unassuming lady taking care of her cat Pebbles in a Scottish village to a global superstar. I mean, her rise to fame has been so startling. And we're seeing it again with some other stars recently in these sorts of shows that pop up. But the point is, it wouldn't have happened 10 years ago, because there is no way a record company would have channeled that much marketing budget to promote someone who was an unknown, you know, well into their 40s, who'd never really sung outside their local community. It just wouldn't happen. But today it can happen, and it's changed the entire equation.
Yeah, okay. Politics as well, you're saying momentum is playing a role here.
It's true, yeah. I think the current elections are a good example of that. You know, in the back rooms, you can be assured the strategists of both parties are trying to figure out how to generate as much momentum as possible to get them over the line. I spoke with James Forsyth in London some months ago before the British election. He's the political editor of the Spectator newspaper. And I asked him about the influence of momentum, and he says it's increased a lot in recent years, for the simple reason that people are less tied to their traditional political parties. Mm-hmm. So they're more fluid. And so they're much more susceptible and vulnerable to the bandwagon effect. So they're looking for signals all the time to jump onto that bandwagon. And so once they get on and the media gets behind them, you get this self-perpetuating effect again. So suddenly a politician who was lagging 1 week can suddenly shoot ahead of the pack within 10 days because of something that the other person said or they've said, and everyone comes in behind them, and then that's magnified through the process of the media. And then they're suddenly not just ahead, but they're way out ahead. And it's this momentum effect in politics that's making it a lot more volatile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I mean, some people would say, well, that's always been the case. You know, if a political candidate says something that people don't like, well, then they're going to kind of start swaying away from that person in an electoral cycle, and vice versa. If the other candidate says something that people do like, well, they'll sway to it. What you're saying is it's just simply the velocity is just much faster now with that kind of impact, that kind of ripples.
That's right. It's almost instantaneous now, whereas, you know, 20 years ago, a politician might have said something really dumb, and then it would take about a week or two for the implications of what he or she had said to sink into the community.
Right, yeah.
But these days, they don't get that chance.
Yes.
It's like within a day or two, it's everywhere. People are onto it. It's Twittered. It's, you know, through Facebook, it's through all the viral networks, and suddenly that can totally shift the dynamic of a campaign.
Yeah, there you are. And religion, how is momentum playing a role in religion?
Well, I think religion has always been, like much of human behaviour, you know, affected by momentum. I mean, momentum's not a new idea, of course. It's Now, people have always been swept up in the events of and the ideologies of their times for thousands of years. But I think what's happening with religion, like many other dimensions of our world, is that it's being accelerated. Aspects of it are being accelerated. And this can have a dangerous aspect and it can have a positive aspect. On the positive side, modern technologies such as the internet allow people to reach out across, you know, geographical and even political boundaries to talk to engage with their followers. On the downside, it also enables extremist religions or the more hot versions of religions to reach out and enroll people in dangerous activities, you know, whether it be, you know, terrorism or sort of antisocial behavior and so on. And that can be greatly magnified and accelerated.
Oh, Taliban and Jamaat Islamiyah and all those are actually using social media quite effectively, aren't they? And using internet and...
Well, that's right. The extraordinary thing and the paradoxical thing is that although a lot of these so-called hot religions have almost medieval connotations, they are extremely adept at making the best use of the latest technology and to become digital recruiting grounds.
Mm. Al-Qaeda have certainly been using YouTube and all those kinds of things very well. This is Open House Across the Nation. We're talking about this notion of momentum, the idea being that our modern technologies and the whole system now, the computerized system, the internet, the media, means that when something kind of starts to gain momentum, it now is very hard to stop it. Mark Roeder is the author of The Big Mo, Why Momentum Now Rules Our World. Happy to take your call on this, 1-300-40-2020. You see some degree of momentum happening in your life too. Now, you say in the book, I quote, "This obsession with speed and efficiency is undermining our capacity as a civilization to reflect on and confront the most pressing issues of our time. It blinds us to the true nature of the problems that we face." Do you want to comment on that? I mean, this hyperculture that we're a part of, where we just don't get to think through our actions anymore. We just simply hit retweet, or whatever it might be.
I think that's absolutely right. And I mean, I notice it. I mean, myself. I mean, I, you know, working in corporate life and you know, being a slave to the ubiquitous BlackBerry on 24/7. I mean, it's. I notice in my own personal life that I can become very addicted to the flow, but I'm conscious of it though, and I make a deliberate effort to switch things off sometimes. But I think the more you skate along the surface of this rapidly moving stream, the more difficult it is to plumb the depths and shall we say, dwell on important issues for any length of time. It's a little bit like, shall we say, a leaf on a stream. You know, it's just going through so rapidly, it's not aware of how vulnerable it is to the turbulence up ahead. And I think we do need to reflect and take time out to sort of confront very difficult issues. And the whole media environment conspires against us doing that.
Yeah. Some things that are gaining momentum need to be halted. I mean, there's enough evils around in the world, or even global financial crises, if it's, you know, just a stock market crash caused by a whole bunch of computers all talking to each other and saying sell or, you know, delete or whatever it's saying. Some things need to be halted. There's a positive side, obviously, to a momentum. I mean, at a professional level, I'm sure Susan Boyle has enjoyed part of that. Mm. On a personal level, I think it's quite clear she hasn't enjoyed a lot of that. Mm. But let's talk about just how we might be able to circumvent the downsides of the momentum process. Give us some tips.
Well, there are three things we all need to do, I think. The first thing and the most important thing is to be aware of our vulnerability to momentum, to be swept up in the flow of things unconsciously, obliviously. That's more difficult than it seems because momentum, the way it operates, it's very subtle and it's immersive. We become immersed in the flow, and we often don't realize that we're being sucked into a particular direction until long after the fact. It's a little bit like going on a river journey, stepping onto the boat. You know, it's nice, calm water, scenery looks nice. Then the boat starts to pick up speed, and you notice a bit of a gurgling sound. And then you notice that, you know, the water's splashing against the rocks, and the boat's moving quite rapidly. And then you can finally hear the sound of the waterfall up ahead, by which it's a bit too late to stop. Mm-hmm. So it's important to be aware. The second step is to at the earliest opportunity, voice your concerns. If you're, you know, working for a company, say, or in a situation or an organization that you feel is heading in the wrong direction, you know, speak up, make your concerns known. If you have to, you know, engage with some other people around you to say, hey, look, this is wrong. We need to stop this, or we need to fix this. We should do this now before it gets out of hand. And thirdly, if it's clear that having spoken up, and if people are still ignoring you and you feel strongly about it, then you might need to take a more radical step and take a stand. You might need to say, well, hold on, I'm not going to condone this. In an extreme situation, you might need to go above the head of your boss, you know, your boss's group of people, or even above that. Or in other situations, if you're working, say, in a company that you feel is doing the wrong thing, you might need to go to an outside regulatory authority. And in the worst case scenario, you could decide to be to go to the media and be what's called a public whistleblower. But I would only do that in extremely difficult circumstances. Because, you know, once you go to the media, you forfeit any control you've got over the message. Money. And as I said earlier, the media has a very kind of sensationalist-driven perspective often. Mm. Not this station, of course.
Oh, no, not at us.
But you have to be careful about when you take it into the public domain. Yeah. But they're the basic three steps. Be aware, speak up, and then if you need to, take action.
Take action, yeah. Well, it's been fascinating talking to you, Mark. Thanks for dropping by.
Absolute pleasure.
Yeah, Mark Roeder, who was the author of The Big Mo, Why Momentum Now Rules Our World.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast, thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.